Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll stay tuned after that for Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. He's got a great message. He'll be coming up at 2 o'clock. But we're going to jump into a few things here this afternoon. Exciting day for news. And we're going to be talking about Brexit. Here today. If you're not familiar with Brexit, I'll explain that term here right after we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you have blessed the program. Help us to be a help and encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. Help us to make sense of the things that are happening in the world around us. And we just give you the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines in just a few moments, but I want to talk about Brexit here a little bit. But let me give you those phone numbers right now. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and there's a lot of current events to look at in light of God's Word today. And before we get into that, just a reminder, you can check us out at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Excuse me. You can also find out about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Invite you to come visit us if you're looking for a church home. We may not be for everything. We're a small church. We take our stand on the King James Version of the Bible, and we certainly take our stand on the Word of God as our guide and our source of information and authority for what we do, what we believe, and we like to spend time getting into the Word of God, seeing what all it has to say. And it might not appeal to everybody, but if that appeals to you and you're looking for a church where you can study the Word of God together, let me invite you to visit us. Again, you can find out more at livewithpastoral.com. You can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well. And the information on the church will come at the end of the program. And we'll get to our callers in a minute. But I want to touch on something with Brexit here. Brexit is the term that's come to be used in regards to the British vote to exit the European Union. And they had the vote yesterday. It was reasonably close. It was a toss-up. They didn't know which way that it was going to go, for or against leaving. And yesterday, they voted to leave the European Union. And immediately, markets started crashing across Europe in the Asian markets. When the American markets opened this morning, they began sinking. The British pound began plunging on the world currency markets. A historic drop in the pound's value. The value of gold and silver skyrocketed. If you look at a chart right about the time that the results started coming in, indicating that the Britain was going to vote to leave the European Union, it was amazing that the price of gold and the price of silver immediately began to rise, representing the uncertainty in the world financial markets. And the other thing that's interesting with all of this is they're heralding this in some circles as the possible demise of the European Union. In fact, the Daily Mail, one of the major British papers, had a headline this morning that said, "Europe will fall very soon." Now even ministers of European Parliament say that the EU will crumble within 5 years after the shock Brexit result. Sweden, Germany, Italy, France are under pressure right now as a result of this to hold their own referendums about leaving the European Union. Germany, I remember reading last fall, winter time frame, there I was reading about how Germany was looking at whether to stay with the European Union or align itself more closely with Russia, the Ukraine, and in that direction. In other words, looking east rather than west. They're kind of right there in the middle of Europe between the east and the west. And that's kind of interesting because some Bible prophecy, and especially in Ezekiel chapter 38, indicates that Germany may be more allied with Russia in the future. So we may be seeing that. But here's what I want to get to looking at some of these things and getting to some of our phone calls. Let me turn over here in Revelation chapter 9, chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, the Bible starts here in verse 1 saying, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and having his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of the bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this beast here represents a coming kingdom and a coming king or ruler, the Antichrist. We usually think of that. In fact, we see more about this same beast in Revelation chapter 17. And in this description of the beast here, it's carrying a woman, and we're not going to deal with her right now, especially for time's sake. I want to go through a lot of material fast here so we can get to our phone call. But it says in Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, this is key here about these seven kings. And it says in verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, which and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have no kingdom as yet, but receive powers, kings, 1 hour with the beast. Now, this is interesting because there's a couple things that we see here, and we see these seven kings, and it describes the seven kings as five who have fallen, one who is. Now, this was John writing this, and the ruler, the world ruler, basically, at that time was Rome. So that would suggest that the one that is Rome, and the other is not yet come, is one that's going to arise out of Rome. This immediately brings to mind Daniel's visions in Daniel chapter 2 of the great image, and then the beasts in Daniel chapter 7, which talk about a series of world empires that would arise. And maybe on Sunday night we'll be delving into this in a little more detail, but Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 7 both give us an order here of Babylon, which was followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, followed by Greece, followed by Rome. There's four, one, two, three, four. And then out of Rome comes the revived Roman Empire. And this is the one out of which the Antichrist arises. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Well, there's four or five, depending on how you count it there. But remember, John said here that there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and one is not yet come at John's time. And so that would suggest Rome and the revived Roman Empire. So what would make up seven? And I was looking at a variety of things. And before Babylon, of course, was Assyria. And I thought, well, who would make the next one to give us seven? Because that only gives us six. And so if you look at Egypt, I think we could make a case that Egypt would be the first one, because They were the first nation that oppressed the Jewish nation, really, when you think about it. Israel was in bondage in Egypt. God delivered them through Moses. But just to following this for the sake of argument, we would have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, who have all fallen. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 have fallen. One is, that's Rome, and then the revised Roman Empire would be the one that is yet to come. And it's interesting, that does correspond to in Daniel chapter 7, as well as in Revelation chapter 13, and let me go back to Revelation chapter 13. People talk about the Antichrist having a wound in his head, but if you read closely in Revelation chapter 13, it says here that the beast comes and he has 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay, the 10 horns have 10 crowns, and we see that they represent 10 kingdoms. And it's interesting that I found some maps going all the way back to 1942, a series of maps from various one world type groups, all dividing the world into 10 regions, not Europe into 10 nations, but the world into 10 governing regions. The UN has maps and plans. Club of Rome, the Council on Foreign Relations. You go through all these different one world agencies and organizations, and they all like to divide the world up into 10 governing regions. And that's what the Bible says, or suggests that the revived Roman Empire will be divided up into 10 regions with 10 rulers. That would be the kings. And it says that there's, so that's the kings during, I believe, during the tribulation period when the Antichrist comes to power. But the Antichrist comes out of this seventh nation represented by the 7 heads, not the 10 horns or the 10 crowns. This is the nations where the 5 which were, the one that is, which was Rome, and then the one that is to come, revived Roman Empire. And most people have seen the European Union being the revived Roman Empire. I believe the Antichrist will come out of the European area. But what it says is, I saw one of his, meaning one of the beast's heads, as it were, wounded to death in Revelation 13, verse 3, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I was reading that this morning, and then reading that article in the British paper, the Daily Mail, that said Europe will fall very soon. They're predicting that it'll crumble within 5 years as a result of this vote yesterday for Britain to leave the European Union. People are sounding right now the death knell of the European Union, which many Bible teachers and prophecy speculators have all been suggesting is the revived Roman Empire. And if that is the case, I'm not saying that it is, but if that is the case, doesn't this sound remarkable, where it says one of the horns, or one of the heads rather, one of these 7 would be wounded as if it was going to die, and then it's brought back? So I look to see if that's the case. Europe having a resurgence that brings it together. There's a variety of things which suggest there could be the rise of a strong man leader in Europe that could potentially be become the, or who could be the Antichrist and the leader of a one world government. And again, we see that in Daniel chapter 7, the little horn that arises out of the fourth king, which would be Rome and the revived Roman Empire, and he plucks out 3 of the other kings of these 10 nation or 10 rulers during the tribulation period. And so Daniel chapter 7 talks about him a bit. For time's sake, we don't have time to get into all of that right now, but I do think it is suggestive that people are sounding the death knell, as I said, of the British, or I'm sorry, of the European Union today. And but what happens if we were to see somebody step forward with a plan to restore unity in Europe, to deal with the very severe problem that our media is not presenting of the the Islamic invasion that's going on in Europe. There are parts in Europe, that's one of the things that actually helped Britain to vote to exit the European Union, is so they can take better control over their borders, because they're being invaded. It's an Islamic invasion under the guise of refugees. I've watched on the internet, on YouTube, several videos showing the amazing transformation in the city of Luton. And I've been in Luton. When I was stationed in England in the Air Force, I used to hold a Bible study with some folks in Luton, and I had friends that lived in Luton. And the very street that I used to drive down in Luton, England, today looks like it's located in the middle of Syria or Babylon or Iraq or something like that. It's an Islamic city just about in some areas, and it's an amazing change from what that little street looked like when I used to drive up and down it back in the 1980s. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Wanted to share that with you today. We'll develop some of these thoughts probably more on our Sunday night program. We'll be on Sunday night from 11 o'clock in the evening until midnight, and I hope you'll tune in for that, and we'll deal with this some more. We're going to be talking about this at our Bible study tonight. If you want to pursue this subject some more with us, I invite you to come out. Our Bible study is at 7 o'clock tonight. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's right where the Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. We can see the Turnpike toll booths right outside from the meeting room where we meet, and invite you to come out there. We're going to be discussing this tonight. We're going to get into it, flesh it out a little bit more, look at some of these passages, and let me give you another passage here that I found that I thought was rather interesting, that I think ties this into, gets us into this idea that we're seeing this progression of nations here. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17, it says, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven away. The first king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. And so that suggests that in our progression of the seven kings again, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the revived Roman Empire, that we're in the right track here, because we have Assyria and Babylon linked together in a succession there. And so I'm going to try and see if I can find some things that might solidify Egypt as being the first in that series there. But come out and join us tonight, 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We'll be meeting for a Bible study, 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. It's informal. We have refreshments, and we'd love to see you. Well, we're going to join in with our callers today, and if you want to give us a call, you can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in from Euclid this afternoon. Nancy, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Very interesting about, I think it's called Brexit, and you know, the biblical implications of that. But my question today would center on those that seem to be critical of Christians, I mean true Christians, that get excited over the Cavs winning, you know, the NBA championship, as if this is a sin to get excited over that. If these Christians do truly put Christ first, and this is just sort of a you know, secondary excitement, and the same thing I think applies to those that criticize those that support, like, humane societies and society, you know, programs that are helpful to prevent animal abuses. If it has to be an either-or thing, to me, they're exhibiting tunnel vision, a slight pharisaical attitude, and a little bit too much legalism. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think I agree basically with what you're saying, because, you know, I am not a sports fan myself, but I'm happy for all the people who are sports fans, you know, because they have, you know, it's something that they, you know, it's a valuable part of their life, and And I've got family members who are big Cavs fans, and I was excited to see them win because of all the good things that it's done for our area. It was exciting to see what happened, you know, in Cleveland with that huge turnout. Well, even the night that they won, last Sunday night, mm-hmm. and then the parade and everything. What was it, like 1.3 mm-hmm. million people or something like that?
Yes.
And really very few problems. I told my wife, we were mm-hmm. joking about it, saying I think there wasn't too many problems because all the hoodlums were too busy celebrating too to get into trouble. So they were, but it was a very positive relationship between the police and the people there. Mm-hmm. If you notice that, the police, even as they were walking along the parade route with the security court, you know, trying to part the crowds and everything, they were high-fiving and shaking hands with people. The police were. And even in Akron last night, a very positive event. And I understand that they're celebrating a man, and I understand that. But at the same time, you know, we are people, and we do live in a community of people, and mm-hmm. there are things that draw us together. And mm-hmm. I know that some people were using those as opportunities to have fellowship with other believers or with unbelievers in an effort to be friends with people, to bring them to an opportunity where they can share the gospel with them. And I understand mm-hmm. that. And as America, we spend too much on sports, and we can talk about all of that another time. We don't have time mm-hmm. today. But at the same time, you know, we live in this world. We're not supposed to be of the world. And we're in danger when, shall I say, King James becomes more important, and I don't mean King James the Bible, when King James the basketball player becomes more important mm-hmm. than King Jesus. So I can sympathize with people who would say, well, why can't we have that kind of enthusiasm and support for King Jesus? Well, I know why we don't. It's because we mm-hmm. live in a lost world, and the world is not drawn to King Jesus. And that's why we're sent out into the world with a gospel message. And if the world in their adulation of King James, the basketball player, gives us an opportunity to talk with them and then maybe turn the conversation to King Jesus, who won't mm-hmm. just improve their life for a day or a week or a month or a year, but will give them eternal life, you know, take advantage of the opportunity, you know, enjoy the win, yeah. enjoy the celebrations, but keep in mind there's something more important out there, and to use those as opportunities to share the gospel with people.
I have used that as a witnessing opportunity. I'll say, you know, a lot of people call LeBron James King James. I said, but my king is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I start witnessing to them. So to me, it's a great witnessing opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if people that seem to have tunnel vision, seem like it's a sin or something to get excited over the Cavs championship, to me, it doesn't have to be either or, as mm-hmm. long as you put Christ first. And just for me personally, I'm just a fan.
I only
get excited, you know, when the Cleveland team is doing well.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
But, I was going to say, we have freedom in Christ, you know, like I said, the caution, though, is if these things become more important to us than Christ, mm-hmm. then that is a problem. But there's a lot of Christians mm-hmm. who are able to balance very well because, you think about it, we have family members that we love and adore. We have friends that we're close to. We have hobbies mm-hmm. that we enjoy. And not everybody is in church 24/7. Not everybody is reading the Bible and praying 24/7. We have jobs. Uh-huh. Like I said, we have families. We have friends. We have hobbies. We have things that we do. This time of year, people have their gardens and their lawns are taken care of. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But the caution, mm-hmm. again, is when those things become more important than the one who gave us those things to enjoy, then we're in danger of idolatry. And an idol is anything, I think, that's more important than God. And so we keep things in perspective, and like you said, you use it as an opportunity to get to talk with people and possibly share the gospel with somebody and enjoy things. You know, you don't have to be walking around with a sour expression on your face all the time. We joke at church sometimes, we'll be laughing about something and say, well, we're getting too serious here. You're not allowed to be laugh in church, are we? Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for the question. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.